intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhuliye, har Saturday, dopahar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon.
Programs heard on KLOK 1170 AM are created by independent producers. Views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLOK 1170 AM.
For more information on how you can get your own show on KLOK 1170 AM,
send us an email to
KLOK 1170 AM at AOL.com or call our business office at 408-440-0851. That's 408-440-0851.
You're listening to KLOK 1170 AM, San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland, and the entire Bay Area.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Sapne Salamat. Welcome back to another episode of Jeans, T-shirt, and a Tie. This is a show that's dedicated to anyone with a dream. This is a show for entrepreneurs, for dreamers, for investors, for technical people and non-technical people. Anyone and everyone that has a dream. This show, as you probably know by now, is made up of various segments and themes that will unfold as the weeks keep going by. In the past, we talked about a woman entrepreneur who raised $17 million for her company. A couple of weeks ago, we did the anatomy of a startup where we talked about structured thought processes. We talked about finding the idea and identifying a problem to solve, and then finding and building a suitable solution to this problem. And of course, we also talked about how to find parallels that people can relate to with your particular solution. We also spent some time talking about how to name your company, why the name of your company is important, how to name it, whether it should be self-explanatory name or it should be a non-descriptive name. We talked about the phonetics, we talked about the meanings, we talked about acronyms. So we did a fair about detailed analysis in terms of naming a company. We also talked about whether it should be based on the founder's name, what are the good things with that, what are the bad things with that, whether it's a good luck charm, and so on and so forth. Last week, we had a session that we dedicated to viral marketing, and we had a guest come on the show who's raised $100 million for his companies that he's co-founded in the past. And of course, his current company boasts of 25 million users. So that was a gupshup with Berud. And we also talked about viral marketing, whether it's a science or it's an art form. We talked about some examples of companies that have done viral marketing, and we talked about companies that everybody seems to think are viral but are actually not viral. So we talked what I'll call non-examples. We then talked about the definition of viral marketing, what makes a good product viral, how to make your product viral. So that's sort of what we did in the weeks gone by. And then coming up, we've got a fantastic set of speakers lined up for you. Next week, we've got a guy coming in who's sold a company for $1 billion. That's with a B. And he's co-founded 8 companies that have been venture funded. So that's a phenomenal story right there. I think even in the entrepreneurial world that I come from, guys like that are very, very rare. 5 out of his 8 companies have been acquired. And he's currently running a consumer web startup, which is, got about 13 million visitors every month that are coming to his site. They've raised about $30 million. So it's a fantastic story, and I'm really excited and looking forward to having him on the show. Subsequent to that, we're going to talk to another founder who I hear got turned down by 67 VCs for his seed round, and people basically said, nope, we don't like. And guess what? He persisted, got funded, and then did a Series A round, which got oversubscribed, and then did a Series B round, which got oversubscribed. So it goes to show you persistence pays, and he'll share his insights on what we're going to be doing. We are also going to be taking calls periodically for audience participation. So if you have a question, comment related to startups, we'll talk about it. I'll try and answer the question, have my guest try and answer the question, or we'll try and defer it to somebody who can answer the question. So we will try to get you an answer on any questions that you have related to startups. whatever kind of help you might be looking for. The number to call in is 408-912-5565. That number again is 408-912-5565. All right. Go ahead and check us out on our website, which is rohit.com/radio. That's rohit.com/radio. At any point during the show, after the show, feel free to challenge me. I've known to have made mistakes before, and I'm sure I will make mistakes again. So we love challenges, and we love getting different perspectives. And today we've got a fantastic guest coming up that we're going to talk about in a second here. But first we have to take a break.
Ruhit.com. Have you ever shared a web page with anyone? Why not highlight it before you share it? Just type Ruhit.com before any web URL. For example, Ruhit.com/Google.com. It neither requires you to register nor to install any software on your computer. It's free and fast, no fine print, and totally hassle-free. Try it out. To advertise on our show or to sponsor a segment, please call 408-469-4192. Unlike the Bollywood music shows that are playing in the background, this is a talk show that is being listened to by a fully engaged audience. Folks, it's not without reason that advertisers spend about $20 billion on radio advertising. So if you're looking for talent or looking to give your company exposure in the technology arena, then this is the show to advertise on. Get more bang for your advertising bucks. You can also email us at radio@ruhit.com. Find us on the web at ruhit.com/radio. Stefania Wine, premium handmade wine made with the highest quality production methods from local state-of-the-art vineyards using the most advanced growing techniques. All grown with organic and sustainable methods. Award-winning wines with regularly 90-plus point scores. Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Noir, and Syrah. The wines are available at Vino Locale in Palo Alto and Vino Cruz in Santa Cruz, or directly from www.stefaniawine.com. Mention our show and get a special discount on the website. Sacramento, home for rent in Sacramento. Gorgeous 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, enclosed yard, beautiful front deck, vaulted ceilings. Central heat and air conditioning, beautifully maintained, and it shows. If you see it, you will love it. Call 408-666-7232. That's 408-666-7232 to schedule a time to see it.
And now back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra. Rohit himself is an active entrepreneur working on a Web 2.0 startup. He has prosecuted close to a dozen patents individually. His personalized URL patent is in use today by hundreds of millions of users. And he's dabbled with stand-up comedy.
Sapne Salamat. Welcome back, dosto. To all those who find my greeting of Sapne Salamat peculiar, I'd like to add that I believe the first step towards achieving any goal is to dream. And only in the pursuit of that dream will you drive to success. So, apne sapno ko salamat rakhein, kahin khone na dein. And welcome back. So, this week has been a very interesting week. I went to a couple of startup events. I actually had the opportunity to hear 50 young startup companies pitch. And this was a fantastic forum that was put together at the Plug and Play Center in Sunnyvale. We saw companies that were in the consumer internet space to companies that were doing robotics. And there were about, as I mentioned, 50 companies that were pitching. There was a panel of about 15 VCs that rated these companies. And it was a very eye-opening event from even for me, because I think I looked at these companies and one of the things I realized is 3 minutes is actually plenty of time to be able to get your own pitch together. And traditionally, you know, when people say, what's your elevator pitch in 1 minute? And I don't think 1 minute is enough time, but 3 minutes definitely is enough time, especially if you have the benefit of a PowerPoint or some slideware forum, so you can really use your multimedia effect to do an audio, visual, and sort of go down that path. So that was great, the event that was put out to this week. This week, I've got a fantastic guest lined up who's actually here in the studio with me. Welcome to Shankar Himadi.
Welcome.
Shankar, thanks for coming on the show. So Shankar is a fantastic guy. He's done a couple of startups himself, and he's got a very fascinating story to tell. And I'm going to start off by saying, first of all, that Shankar says he can speak 40 different languages. Well, I shouldn't say that. He says that. I've heard that he can get by in about 40 languages, and he can speak, I think, about 5 fluently. So maybe right at the outset, I'm going to put him on the spot and say, give us something in a half a dozen languages that we are not familiar with.
Oh, I don't know where to start. The honest truth is that I grew up in Bombay, and just to survive in Bombay, I had to learn like 5 languages. My mother tongue, Konkani, Kashya Sattami, or Marathi, Kasakai Chalai, of actually 5 or 6 different versions of Marathi, depending on which part of Maharashtra people came from.
Uh-huh.
Bambaiya and Hindi, which are very distinct yet related, and Urdu. And of course, English, if you really wanted to get ahead in the corporate world and things like that. But much later, it became a hobby, especially after I moved to Silicon Valley, because initially it used to bother me that people had so many accents. And later, I started falling in love with the accents because I really like being with people. For example, I just visited a podiatrist, and I started with Gamang. And she goes, like, there's a big smile from this Vietnamese woman. Or in Japan, when I was traveling for the first time, I arrived half an hour early at the Narita airport.
Uh-huh.
So I started with Hajime Mashite, Watashi no namae wa Hemari Shankar to moshimasu. And they were like, do you live here? So, and I said, no, my first trip, they actually gave me an upgrade to go to Germany via business class immediately.
Sweet.
So it really helps to relate to people. Much later, after learning tidbits of about 40 languages, I realized that silence actually works better than anything else.
No, that's very impressive, Shankar, though I will admit, I think Dilliya, Mumbaiya, Urdu, Hindi, I would not classify those different languages, sort of flavors of the same thing. So that's a little bit of a cop-out in my opinion. But enough about the language thing. So that's fantastic. Now, you've started a couple of companies in the course of the years that have gone by. You've raised a few $1 million for the companies you've started. You've sold a company for a few $1 million. So I would love to sort of start out at the beginning and say, how did this whole entrepreneurial thing come about?
Well, I grew up actually in a working class as a child in India. And the best advice, entrepreneurial advice I got from my dad was, please don't work for the government because you do end up losing a lot of you'll have to find other creative outlets.
But that's a cushy life, isn't it? I think you could go work for the government and you have all the time in the world to pursue your creative outlets.
Well, I'll get to that later. So the thing is that I was always looking at what to do and what not to do as a child, having grown up in, you know, interesting and difficult times sometimes. When I grew up and I went to college, it became evident that I had to do something different, interesting. And I did not even know the word entrepreneurship till I really came to the US.
That is a hard word. What does it mean?
I'm still finding out. What was interesting was that the passion to do something different. I read Joseph Campbell fairly early, and this whole idea of following my own bliss was so entrancing, it was so exciting that I said I should do something different and something that I'll be completely passionate about. But
I'm going to jump in here for a second. You said something that struck a chord. Following my bliss. Tell me more about that. What does that mean?
Many people have said that in many different ways.
Correct.
But the whole idea is that very often in life, we look at it as a compromise everywhere we go. It's like, oh, I'm excited about dance, but I really have to do this. I'm excited about music, but I really should be doing something pragmatic, such as an office job. And these compromises often, the trade-offs we try to make, often lead us to jobs that we don't like. In fact, the word work, it has become so distinct. It's like there's a disdain people
have. It's a four-letter word, right?
Yeah, yeah. But there's another four-letter word, love. You can really love and choose to be doing the things that you really enjoy. And the whole idea behind following your bliss is to really go in a direction that makes sense. Go with your heart and keep your head straight. Remember, the head is always above the heart. So if you use both along with the rest of the body and the mind, it actually leads us in a very meaningful direction, what I like to call pragmatic passion. Uh-huh. So it is very passionate. At the same time, there's pragmatism. There's meaning. At the same time, there's it's not just following a beaten track. It's also not going the exact opposite and going into an area where nobody has gone before. But there are ways in which we can travel even on the beaten track, even in a government job, and do really meaningful things.
Okay.
And that's what I—that's what really is the essence to me of following your bliss.
Okay.
So after a few different tries, my first few jobs were very conservative, taking big company jobs, initially at Tata's and later at Intel. In fact, I turned down a few opportunities because I was so hell-bent on being careful.
Uh-huh.
The company I currently work for, Synopsys, I turned it down a couple of times just because I was being overly pragmatic and careful.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to suggest to people that they should not be pragmatic. I think it's really good to be realistic and only take on that level of risk that they are tolerant.
So,
but over time, I realized that my risk tolerance grew as well as my, you know, support network, financial network grew. And the Indus Entrepreneurs was a huge, huge propellant in the entrepreneurial direction for me.
Tell me how that happened. Tell me what the story there is.
I was actually I had worked for Cadence and Gateway, part of Cadence, which is an electronic design automation company. And at the time, Prabhu Goel had sold his company, which created one of the languages called Verilog. And it's really one of the leading edge technologies.
Right.
So I was very interested and intrigued by people like Prabhu, who for all practical purposes looked like any other really good engineer and a pragmatic businessman. How can I do something like that? And as I was thinking about all these things, I joined a startup, Sunrise, and Sunrise was doing really well, but still there was this itch. I'm just one of the cogs in the wheel. So how do I get to the point where I can do something? And there was this ad for Tycon, the first one in 1994, and I realized when I called them, they would not answer back. So I volunteered. I said, if you need volunteers, I'm available. So I took like 3-4 days off, volunteered.
So you took time off from work to go and volunteer for a startup organization, so you could get exposure to the startup world.
Actually, I took time off to volunteer for Thai, the Indus Entrepreneurs, and I met incredible people there in t-shirt and jeans, working on every detail of the program, including making foolproofing spelling checks.
I have to jump in here for a second because I love what you just said. Do you know what the name of my show is, Shankar? It's jeans, t-shirt, and a tie.
Oh my God, yes. That's exactly. In fact, it was an unwritten rule within ties. You know, you really don't need to wear a tie, but you can still talk about tie.
Yeah.
So it was amazing to see everybody from Suhas Patil, who later became the founding president, to Vinod Khosla and everybody just in one room with one goal. How do we make a change in the mindset of engineers and scientists and anybody who is coming to this country? It initially
started. So how do we help people realize their dreams was sort of the...
Very much so, in a business setting, in a corporate...
Which is exactly what this show is about. It's about Sapne Salamat.
Yes.
You're saying, how do you fulfill your dreams? How do you pursue your dreams?
Yes. And
so you were at the Tycon in 94, and what happened after that?
So the day after Tycon, I actually offered my resignation.
Hang on. I got to caution my listeners. I don't know whether they should be following your footpaths. Listen to my show, and next thing I know, Monday morning, 10 or 12 people have put in their resignations. I don't want to have that on my conscience now, do I?
So the interesting thing was, both Suhas Patil, who was the then president of Thai, as well as my manager, said, you know, you're really getting too emotional and excited.
Uh-huh.
Calm down. We'll give you a few more weeks to think about it.
Uh-huh.
So I thought about it, and I completed all the things that I was doing.
Yeah.
And then with a lot of blessings from the startup that I was working for, Sunrise, I actually started my first design services company.
Okay, good. So I guess it worked out okay. So maybe I can encourage some of my listeners to actually go out and do that. It tends to work out for the most part. Huh?
The passion part is very important, but the pragmatism actually helped me because I talked to several people, both at Thai as well as in my industry, in the chip design industry.
Yeah.
Before I left, I actually sent out an email and told people, look, I'm thinking of doing this. So I sent it out to 100 people. Two of them said, yes, we have work for you.
Okay.
We can actually offer you contracts today.
Okay, good.
So that's when I actually went ahead and with good relationships with the company.
Okay, so you had some business in hand and you didn't just sort of quit cold without any business in hand.
That's correct. And in fact, I had zero...
So this was a design automation services company?
Yeah.
And you ran this for how many years?
5 years.
You ran this for 5 years. What kind of revenues were you guys having at this?
We averaged about between 1 to 2 million every year. Guru Technologies.
It's a fairly small startup, but...
Fairly small.
But a couple of million dollars is every year is plenty of money for most people.
Yeah, and what was more interesting was that we specialized in what we called high-end design services. This was a time when outsourcing had started, so we really focused on the high-end, and it was really exciting.
Yeah. Okay, so you did that for 5 years, and then what happened?
Well, as I was getting into the, if you remember, 98, 99 time frame, everything was just going all over the place.
Those were the dot-com days. Those were the heydays.
Exactly. But about that time, some of my friends who had already gotten into the 40s, I saw were actually, like, a couple of them died of cancer. So that's when I started talking to my wife, Dr. Seema Handu, as to what can be done. And one of the things we realized as technologists, what we can contribute was figuring out pragmatic ways of implementing and simplifying the drug development process, specifically on the information side.
So wait, that's a lot of hard work. So let me put it down into the terms in plain English. So basically what you did after 5 years, you decided to start another company, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah, and okay. I actually bootstrapped that company initially with the money and as well as the infrastructure.
So bootstrap means that you put your own money in to start the business.
Money and time.
And time, okay.
Both me and my wife both jumped into it, leaving everything else pretty much.
Okay.
And the fun part of it was, being 1999, it was fairly easy to raise money.
Yeah.
And we focused on how we can make it easier for pharmaceutical and biotech companies to work with the FDA.
So this was a pharmaceutical company, I take it then?
It was a software company.
It was a software company. What was the company called?
It was called FarmQuest.
Okay.
And the whole intent was to simplify and accelerate the process of drug development, particularly preclinical development.
Okay. That sounds like a really lot of hard stuff and sophisticated stuff.
Yes, and the interesting thing was that I realized for the first time in my life I was doing something where my only knowledge of the subject was fundraising, marketing, but I really didn't know the subject matter. My co-founder, Seema, of course, was in the field, but she was a hardcore R&D person. So the best advice we got at that time from investors as well as friends was bring together a complete team.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We brought together marketers, advisors from different areas.
So let me again cut you off here for a second and say, how does somebody go about to raise money? Somebody who's never raised money. So this was your first time raising money.
This was my first time raising money. I actually went back to my friends who had actually encountered that problem. For example, a brother or a father or a mother who had suffered through cancer.
Uh-huh.
And I asked them about it. And they said, I would do anything if I could see my brother back.
Right.
So it wasn't like I was playing on their emotions, but I was trying to understand from them. These are technologists, well-known technologists who had run startups. So they were the ones who actually helped me hone and zone in on the problem. And they were also some of the
investors. But I think back to my question, so how did you raise money for it?
I actually started off with understanding two things. One is we knew there were software people who were interested in biopharmaceuticals, and there were biopharmaceutical people who were interested in the software industry. So we went to both and really tried to bridge that gap. When our story came together, which took about 3-4 months, we started seeing investments. Our early investors were like Eli Lilly and Company, and Storm Ventures, and a few select angels.
Okay. So I think in the past, I've had a couple of entrepreneurs come out who've talked about how they've raised money from angels and how they've raised money from VCs. And you're somebody who's raised money from a strategic partner or a corporate guy, which is Eli Lilly. Eli Lilly is probably a $100 billion company, maybe $50 billion company. It's some ungodly sum of money. It's a giant in the pharmaceutical industry, perhaps the largest company in the pharmaceutical business?
No, it's one of the top 10.
One of the top 10. Okay. So anyways, it is huge. And you went to these guys as two young entrepreneurs who wanted money. How does that happen?
It's interesting. You never know where you're going to get these contacts from. One of our interviewees for a job was Dr. Glenn Cornett. Unfortunately, we had already filled that position, which was market development, somebody to head up marketing and business development. But we liked his resume so much, MD from a big school and McKinsey and all, we interviewed him. In the interview process, he told us why he really liked us. He said, I know somebody at Eli Lilly who would love to invest in this. So we couldn't hire him, but we really worked with him. Later, he became an advisor to the company, but he introduced us at the airport, like for about half an hour, to Alpheus Bingham, who later started Lilly Ventures. And I was impatient. I was like, this is a corporate thing. We are wasting our time here. So I asked Alf, what's the purpose of this meeting?
Yeah.
He saw my impatience and he smiled and he said, you know, I'm in the process of putting together Lilly Ventures. And one part of it is what we call eLilly to fund software and web companies so that you guys can bring us up to the cutting edge in using web technologies. Yeah. We were one of their first investments.
Wow. No, that is really interesting because I think in one of my startups, I had a similar experience where I was interviewing this guy and we were interviewing him for a particular position. As it turned out, we ended up not offering him the job, but during the process, we did some reference checks on him. And it turns out one of the guys that we were doing a reference check or was his reference is the guy we ended up hiring. And it was really interesting because that whole process, it's a long process again. It's not, these things don't happen overnight. An entrepreneur wants that, you know, aaj maine kuch kiya and tomorrow it's done. And it doesn't happen. So this guy, in fact, first, the company that he was working for, he tried to acquire our company as part of that entity.
Wow.
And we were not ready to sell at that point. So next thing we knew, he liked the company so much, he ended up coming on board and working for the company and even put some of his own money into the company.
And we had many such stories. What's more interesting, Rohit, is what you just referred to, is the relationships that matter.
Uh-huh.
It's not just the technology. A lot of us who have come from an engineering background believe that if the technology is incredible, money will come. Not necessarily true.
Right.
If you can relate to people, not just network, but really get to know people, incredible things happen. Almost everything, whether it's a product or a service, at the end, there's another human being who is making the selection. So as you said, I mean, an interviewee could lead us to investors, or today now I write poems with Glenn Cornett's wife, and Alf is one of my friends on Facebook.
Wow, so, okay. You're writing poems. So you're an entrepreneur who's writing poems, who speaks 40 languages, Shankar Himaji. We're going to come back and talk to you in a minute. I've got my producer signaling for a break right here.
Ruhit.com is a micro information service that allows you to highlight any part of any web page. Ruhit then enables you to do all kinds of interesting things with those highlights. It's fast and free. No sign up, no download. Try it out. What have you got to lose? Bavica, off of El Camino and Henderson in Sunnyvale, is a fabulous vegetarian food, chaat, and snacks place called Bavica. Please stop by and mention you heard our show and be treated to a free chai. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, free chai for all of our listeners. Enjoy. Stefania Wine, premium handmade wine made with the highest quality production methods from local state-of-the-art vineyards using the most advanced growing techniques. All grown with organic and sustainable methods. Award-winning wines with regularly 90-plus point scores. Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Noir, and Syrah. The wines are available at Vino Locale in Palo Alto and Vino Cruz in Santa Cruz, or directly from www.stefaniawine.com. Mention our show and get a special discount on the website. To advertise on our show or to sponsor a segment, please call 408-469-4192. Unlike the Bollywood music shows that are playing in the background, this is a talk show that is being listened by a fully engaged audience. Folks, it's not without reason that advertisers spend about $20 billion on radio advertising. So if you're looking for talent or looking to give your company exposure in the technology arena, this is the show to advertise on. Get more bang for your advertising bucks. You can also email us at radio@ruhit.com or find us on the web at ruhit.com/radio. And now back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra. Rohit himself is an active entrepreneur working on a Web 2.0 startup. He has started three companies in Silicon Valley, and he's taken 5 years off of his life to travel. He's traveled to about 50 countries just for fun.
Sapne salamat, dosto. Welcome back to Jeans, T-shirt, and a Tie. Today we are talking to Shankar, who started a design services automation company and has also started a product company in the pharmaceutical business. They have actually since sold that company, and Shankar is now talking about how he is doing on Facebook, and he's becoming a poet of some sort, it seems like. So we're going to dive right in and ask him more about the poetry.
Well, it's interesting. Around 2002, as I was getting deep into the whole company stuff, running my, as you remember, after 9/11, things slowed down in the industry.
Yes.
And we did heroic efforts to raise money and continue and change the structure of the company so that we could continue forward. Around that time, I went through a personal crisis. I lost my father. And I realized that I was spending far too much time on business activities, and sometimes at the cost of not paying enough attention on the family side. So I started to look for a balance, and eventually I moved away from FarmQuest in a full-time position, and I started spending much more time with the family. One of the things that happened at that time was a friend said, whenever you feel strong emotions, why don't you just put it in words? Because maybe they can help others, or maybe it's good therapy. So that's how it started. But another friend said, you write too verbose, just like you talk too verbose. So can you not put it in a few words and make it irredundant? Do not repeat. That's how I started writing almost haiku-like four-line poems.
Uh-huh.
And it's just been fun. It's also like a positive feedback cycle.
Yeah.
Where people respond in poems and stories and anecdotes. And I've been doing that for now 6 years, but on Facebook for about 2 years. And it's a great way to reconnect with friends. The latest recent one being Regis McKenna, who, as you've
the probably... Regis McKenna.
It was such a delight when I wished him for his birthday. He replied saying, I love your poems.
Yeah.
So it's great to reconnect with people in completely different ways.
Yeah, interesting. So I've sort of seen your Facebook profile, and I think just before I came into the show, I looked, and you had 4,999 friends on Facebook. How does that one do that?
Well, some of them are friends of friends. And what I realized was that some people feel hurt if you don't accept them. In fact, I actually like the idea of being in touch with many people. I do not go and check their websites every day. I do not also respond or and send emails to everybody, but it's a great way to connect in different ways. And whenever I travel somewhere, if occasionally I'll go check who in that area, whether it's Boston or India or Goa, lives in the vicinity and actually visit them. And
you do that, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And you've written how many poems to date?
I've written about 700, but mostly published them online, not in any print. But some people have taken these poems and put them in different places.
Okay. So you're an engineer who turned into an entrepreneur, who's a poet, who loves to deal with people, who speaks 40 different languages. Is there more to this, Shankar, that we...
Well, I think I took this dictum, follow your bliss, pretty literally. And when I was turning 40, one of my dreams was to do some kind of Bollywood dancing. But
right
I was off. Way too embarrassed to learn it, because anywhere I would go to Bollywood dance classes in those days, this is a few years ago, it was all women, and they would start laughing. What is this guy doing here? Now things have changed, thank God. So I actually started learning ecstatic dance, and I've been doing that fairly regularly. That's my main form of exercise.
Okay.
Garba, Bhangra. I actually teach it to non-Indians. It's safer.
Wow.
How do you move your body to Indian music, whether it's chanting, kirtans, or just plain old good old Bollywood.
Interesting. And you're also something of a philosopher from what I hear.
I don't know. I'm far too pragmatic. In some ways, I'm still an engineer at heart. So I really pay attention to that philosophy, which I like to find meaning in everything I do.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
Okay. Because I've seen some of your writings, and you also do Sufi stuff. You've also been involved with the Chinmaya mission. You're fairly involved with Vipassana. You're also involved with meditation. And you're studying religion, I understand?
Yeah, and some of my friends warned me, you're really becoming a jack of all religions. And to me, it's really, I have always been interested in the mystical part of religions, whether it's understanding Advaita, using the Sankhya Yoga or the Patanjali Sastanga Yoga tradition, or the Kabbalah among the Jewish people, or the Christian mystical tradition. So that's what I've really read of how it's saved over the last 20 plus years.
Okay. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the phone lines at this point. The number to call in is 408-912-KLOK. That's 408-912-5565. Folks, if you have any questions about startups, please feel free to call in and we will try to answer them as best as we can. We are also soliciting your feedback, so give us your feedback about the show. Please tell us what kinds of listeners, guests you'd like to listen to, what kind of programming you would like to listen to. And we're going to take this caller live on air right now. Sapne Salamat, you're live. Sapne Salamat. Okay. Looks like we lost that one, but so back to what? So also plugs. Yes, somebody pointed out to us young startup companies don't have money and they're looking to get plugs. So we'll help with that as well. We've got a call coming in. We'll take that right now. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air. Wow, somebody's really trying hard to call in any which way. So yes, if you want to do that, we'll try and do that for plugging your companies. We're also putting out a call for speakers. So in case you have a story that we think is an interesting story that you'd like to come and share with our audience, please feel free to call in or email us at radio@rohit.com. That's radio@rohit.com. And we will take this information forward and move along with that. So right now, we are talking today with Shankar Himadi, who started two companies. And I'm going to sort of get into a quick rapid-fire mode with Shankar, if Shankar doesn't mind terribly. How long have you been here, Shankar?
In the U.S.?
In the U.S.
Almost 23 years.
23 years. How many companies have you started?
Two in the corporate, in the electronics and software space.
So you started a company and now you're going back to work for somebody else.
Yes, yes.
How does that happen?
It gives me really good work-life balance.
Okay. We've got a call coming in that we're going to take live on air. Sapne Salamat.
Yes, Sapne Salamat. Rohit, this is Jay. I have a question from the last episode we had last Saturday.
Okay.
One of the listeners mentioned about registering your idea, and I didn't catch quite well where we can go and register our ideas.
Wow. I don't quite recall that question, Jay. Are you sure this was our show? But I'd be happy to answer it as a startup question any which way. registering your ideas is something which folks talk about. Folks talk about putting this stuff and sending it off to the copyright office, which I think is a bunch of baloney, pardon my French. You can also file what's called a provisional patent, where you basically disclose what your idea is. Remember, it's not ideas that are patentable. There's processes that are patentable. So.
Oh, I see. Okay. So whatever the procedure or the you can just patent it.
Yes, there's a procedure that can be patented, not an idea.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for calling. Bye now. So, coming back to you were talking to us about, you started three companies, and how much did you sell FarmQuest for?
I can't disclose the exact number, but it was pretty much eight figures.
Eight figures. That is $10 million plus. Wow. Very good. So you're a rich man. You've made your money, and yet you go back and choose to work for somebody. Explain that to me and my listeners.
Well, I actually took almost a year off in 2005, and that was before the company was sold. But I realized that I'm much more grounded when I'm doing something that I love. So I deliberately went for things that I really like to do.
Uh-huh.
And I work in a very interesting position at Synopsys where there's a lot of flexibility and tremendous value. As you know, I use my relationships with a few thousand people to benefit my company. And in the process, it benefits me by keeping me engaged with literally hundreds of people every day.
Okay. Well, the question is even more fundamental than that. Why are you even working? You've made your money. You can afford to retire.
Well, think about anybody that you know who has quote-unquote made money. They never stop working.
No, they don't.
The question is, what kind of work do they do? I chose to be in corporate because I like that discipline that the corporations put on me in terms of time, deliverables. Otherwise, I tend to be so much passionate, I'll do it in any out of order.
Okay,
I really like this.
I want to talk to you more about this, but I've got a call coming in that I want to take. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Sapne Salamat. Thanks, great show. I have a question for Shankar. He said that he speaks 40 languages. Bit curious to know how many international languages he speaks and how many Indian languages and how long it took him to know all these languages. Is he very fluent in this?
Okay. Can I have you turn down your radio first, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Well, Rohit definitely exaggerated. I said I can mumble in 40 languages. I can say hi, hello. I can say hi, hello in about 40 languages. Only 10 of these are Indian. The other 30 are like, you know, Kamsahamnida, for example, and Korean. The interesting thing is to get the accent and really speak like a native. And that can really, you know, I'll just walk into a restaurant and start with khap kum khap, and this Thai waitress will turn around and give you a free appetizer or something like that. They just love it. And it's really honoring the person in front of you. It's not
absolutely
imitating.
Absolutely. Because I speak around 90 languages, so I was a bit curious to know, like, the one person I know who speaks so many languages, multilingual, was Narasimha Rao. And I think now you are the second miracle happening.
I can only really speak 5 very well. I mean, like, as in fluently read, write, and speak. And they are mostly Indian languages. Hindi, Marathi, Konkani, and Urdu. But the others are like, you know, Nalai Irkaya or Tamil or Korokayoto in Kachi. I just love to learn enough to be dangerous.
And what did you say, Jay? You speak 90 languages, 90?
No, it's 19.
And you speak 19 fluently or enough to get by?
I think at least around 9 I speak fluently. 10 I can definitely pull around anytime.
Kudos, man.
Yeah, for example, I was working for a company that was started in Israel, and they often used Hebrew as a code language. So within a year, I started smiling in meetings. And they're like, what are you smiling at? And I said, I understand what you're saying.
No, because I was a bit curious to know whether you took a help of Rosetta or something when you said 40 languages. I'm teaching my kids to know more languages.
Yeah, there are excellent
more
books.
Of an international languages, you know.
There are excellent books on this topic. There is a book called How Can You Learn Like Hundreds of Languages. I don't remember the author, but it's on my Facebook site. It's a fantastic book. And it has lots of good tips.
Yeah, thank you.
Good. Thanks for calling, Jay.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your show. Great show. Keep it on.
Thank you. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Rohit. This is Rohit again. Sapne Salamat to you as well.
Thank you.
And just a quick question that before you actually share your ideas with VCs or, you know, other interested parties, what are the different ways you can actually protect the ideas? A small question.
Yes, it's actually one of the most commonly asked questions, and unfortunately, the answer for this is one that you're not going to like. There is no real way to protect your idea. The reality is, no VC that I know of will ever sign an NDA, ever. And almost 95, 99% of angels that I know will never sign an NDA either. People will sort of always say that it's not all about the idea. I think people that come up with really fantastic, innovative ideas, ideas are worth a lot. But to a large extent, it's about execution rather than the idea. Because think of it this way, there's a lot of smart people on this planet. You and I are not the only two smart people. And if you're thinking about an idea, chances are there's 10 other people on the planet at any point in time that have thought about it or are thinking about it. You know, so I'll think back and look at how many times amongst your circle of friends that people might have told you that YouTube, oh, what a great idea. I thought about it. All these guys did put a video on the web. It's like, gee whiz, so did 20 other companies at the same time as YouTube were doing it. But these guys executed rightly and they made a big business out of it. Having said that, I personally am a big believer in innovative ideas, and I am a little bit of a contrarian in that approach, because I think a lot of people say that ideas are very common, and I don't think these great ideas are that common for people that are actually going to be willing to go out and execute on them. So I will hold the idea close to my chest. I will sort of go out and share it with people to the extent that I need to, for the purposes that I need to. Not mind you, if you're looking to raise money, you have no choice. You have to expose the idea, but sort of use the onion approach where you peel back layers of it and share a little bit, and then you share a little bit more, and then you share a little bit more. Yeah. But at the surface of it, you will have to share enough to wow somebody to want to be able to have interest in peeling off subsequent layers.
Thank you. Thank you, Rohit. That helps a lot. And congratulations on a great show. And thanks a lot for, you know, having this show.
Great.
Great listen. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Ruhit.com. Have you ever shared a web page with anyone? Why not highlight it before you share it? Just type Ruhit.com before any web URL. For example, Ruhit.com/Google.com. It neither requires you to register nor to install any software on your computer. It's free and fast, no fine print, and totally hassle-free. Try it out. To advertise on our show or to sponsor a segment, please call 408-469-4192. That's 408-469-4192. Unlike the Bollywood music shows that are playing in the background, this is a talk show that is being listened to by a fully engaged audience. Folks, it's not without reason that advertisers spend about $20 billion on radio advertising. So if you're looking for talent or looking to give your company exposure in the technology arena, then this is the show to advertise on. Get more bang for your advertising bucks. You can also email us at radio@ruhit.com. That's ROOHIT.com. Or find us on the web at ruhit.com/radio. Sacramento, home for rent in Sacramento. Gorgeous 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, enclosed yard, beautiful front deck, vaulted ceilings. Central heat and air conditioning, beautifully maintained, and it shows. If you see it, you will love it. Call 408-666-7232. That's 408-666-7232 to schedule a time to see it. Bavica, off of El Camino and Henderson in Sunnyvale, is a fabulous vegetarian food, chaat, and snacks place called Bavica. Please stop by and mention you heard our show and be treated to a free chai. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, free chai. For all of our listeners, enjoy. And now, back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra. Rohit is himself an active entrepreneur working on a Web 2.0 startup. He's a visionary. He created the earliest social networking website ever, called ecode.com. Himself has been written up in over 300 top international publications, such as Business Week, New York Times, and Wall Street Journal, to name a few. And now, Rohit Chandra.
Sapne Salamat, dosto. We've got a caller coming in. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
This is Rakesh.
Rakesh, welcome to the show.
I wanted to find out if your show is available in the podcast form, because sometimes I can hear it like in bits and pieces. That's why I don't get enough time. But if it's available in podcast form, I can hear the rest of it later.
I think we will try and make a podcast available for you, Rakesh. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hello, Sapne Salamat. जो आदमी ने पूछ रहा था आइडिया क्या करेगा?
हाँ जी.
तो ये जो आइडिया है जो लॉयर के थ्रू से करते हैं. अमेरिका में ऐसी बहुत कंपनी से लॉयर के थ्रू से करके उसके बाद वो आइडिया कोई कंपनी को ट्रांसफर करके मेरा ये आइडिया है बोल के उसको उसमें से मैन्युफैक्चरिंग करते हैं कुछ भी करते हैं.
हाँ जी.
तो उसके बाद वो जो आइडिया कंपनी लेके कुछ करेगा तो ऐसी होता है वो जो आइडिया पहले से आपके पास आइडिया जो लॉयर ने हैंडल किया हुआ है तो आपको ऐसे ये कर सकते हैं मेरा आइडिया था मैंने इसको दिया था उसके बाद इन्होंने किया तो लॉयर आपके लिए फाइट करेंगे तो सर सिंबल
नहीं तो लॉयर आपके लिए क्या कर सकते हैं आपकी राय में
बिकॉज और लॉयर जो है ना आपको आइडिया लॉयर के थ्रू से दिया है ना
हाँ जी
तो उन्होंने कुछ भी वो आइडिया लेके आपको किक आउट करेगा तो फिर लॉयर उसको हैंडल कर रहे थे केस हमने दिया था ऐसा है
नहीं अनफॉर्चुनेटली ऐसा नहीं होता है तो मैं नहीं चाहूंगा कि मेरे लिसनर्स को ये गलत इन्फॉर्मेशन पास ऑन की जाए कि कोई भी आप इन्फॉर्मेशन आप लॉयर के पास दीजिए लॉयर जो है खुदा नहीं हैगा जो आपकी हर एक चीज़ को आपके लिए बचा के रखेगा लॉयर का काम है सिर्फ लॉ की रक्षा करना सो बट थैंक यू फॉर कॉलिंग Great. So we are talking today with Shankar. The number to call into the studios is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-5565. One of the things we are trying to, I think, would like to share with my listeners why I brought on Shankar today as part of the entrepreneurs come in lots of different shapes and flavors. And Shankar, I think, is one of the most interesting flavors of entrepreneurship that we see out there. As we mentioned earlier, he's been an entrepreneur, he's been an engineer, he's been a philosopher, he's been a poet, he's studying religion, he loves dance. He's a very, very social person who's working with 5,000 friends. So, anyways, Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yeah, hello. This is Hemant Jindal.
Hemant, Sapne Salamat.
Yeah, actually...
Sapne Salamat, Hemant. Sapne Salamat, mere dost.
Yeah, Sapne Salamat. Yeah, Sapne Salamat. I'm hearing your radio from almost an hour or so.
Thank you so much.
Actually, it's really inspiring, and I would like to know actually to you also and to Shankar also. Actually, your success is actually don't really inspire me. What inspires me is your failures. You know, tell me about your failures. Like how many times you failed, and the time you really found that there is no help. What should I do?
Sure.
In fact, let me start because this is a very, very important question. And in fact, let me start with my friend here, Rohit. The way I got to know Rohit was that I was an entrepreneur and we, I think, ran into each other at Thai or something like that.
Correct.
And a young, brilliant, smiling guy. And smiling is not considered necessarily positive when you go into a boardroom. But this guy was like, his smile was so infectious. I was like, wow. And I told Seema, we need to go and attend something. So he put out some kind of a seminar at E-Code, and I went there. And what was amazing was in that seminar by the small startup in 1999 or 2000,
yeah,
were seated at least 100 other entrepreneurs, some of them who had run multiple startups. That was the first time I saw a social network which started on the web getting grounded and actually people being pulled together. Now, that was his success. The failure, if you can call it, is that it did not translate into dollars. So many times successes can be in terms of relationships, successes can be in terms of name and fame. It may not always translate into dollars. So if you measure everything in terms of dollars, they may not be successful. Now, sometimes you may spend so much time and you may lose your health or relationships. That also can be considered a failure depending on our priorities. Again, balance is important. Being realistic, pragmatic is important. Knowing the timing of what you do, when you do is important. I personally felt, and Rohit, you can correct me, E-Code was way early. I mean, right. It was way ahead of its time. You are already talking identity. You are already talking about all these concepts.
Yes, we were. Yes, Hemant, I can totally relate to that. So that was, I think, in the context that you asked the question, that was a failure from the sense that we created this company. We were actually the very first social networking company ever. And I started this in 1997. We did have millions of users. But to answer your question, in terms of a successful financial exit, no, we did not have a successful financial exit. And guess what? I'm back today. I'm started another company and I'm still hungry and I'm still pursuing entrepreneurship because I love entrepreneurship. And I hope that answers your questions.
Yeah, so your contact information is also available on rohit.com. I'm thinking to send you an email or something.
Radio at rohit.com. We got two more calls coming in. I'm going to try and grab at least one of them, okay, if I can. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi. The Sapne Salamat, that's one thing I want to ask you. I always believe information should reach to a lot of people. You've got a title which is Hindi. A lot of people may not understand this, right?
Sure.
So anyway, I understand many languages, but I thought, guys, you guys do a rock great job. Let everyone understand, you know, what the title is. Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, if you like our show, please tell your friends about it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Sapne Salamat, you're live on air. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Sapne Salamat, Rohit, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for calling.
Great, thank you. So thanks for taking my call. And I'm sure I dialed in late, and I'm sure this question may have been asked, and I apologize if I'm
no, please ask your question.
Again.
Fire away.
And the question is, when you think you're on a brilliant idea, and what would be the next step? Do you go and patent that idea before you start talking to people?
Wow.
This is
a popular question today. Yes, this question was asked earlier today. Ideas are not patentable. Processes are patentable. Ideas are something which you have to pursue, and you have to sort of put, I think, your own convictions behind that and go and build a business.
And I would say bring some confidence if you feel you want to really take the idea to the next stage. When an idea in isolation may be good, bringing in two or three minds to it can actually transform it into something much more realistic, maybe a process or a product that can be patented and or that can be protected. And then you can go to an investor or take it with you. Just keeping it to yourself, sometimes you lose time and the idea may no longer be innovative. After 2 years, YouTube is no longer an innovative idea.
There's a window of opportunity.
So Shankar, would you suggest that you start talking to people who are in the same area and not be worried about, oh, you know what, this could be
Well, definitely take your worries and fears seriously.
Correct.
But also move forward very with a clear, decisive steps. There's no need to hurry. At the same time, dilly-dallying doesn't help. You got to move forward in a meaningful way. You will know. It's like learning to swim.
Take some cautious steps, basically. Go out and start approaching people that you can trust. Remember, there's people out there that are running their own companies, that are building companies, and they are not going to take your idea and build a whole business out of it. They're not going to quit what they're doing and start something different. So those are good people to go out and reach, touch out to and say, I have an idea. What do you guys think? Get some validation for your idea from external sources.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks for calling in. We are talking today with Shankar, and we are talking about entrepreneurship. One of the things I want to point out to some of our listeners is, if you're enjoying our show, if you're enjoying listening to us, please go ahead and tell your friends. We are on every Saturday at noon. We are looking for sponsorships for folks that want to sponsor this show. We'd be happy to talk to them, radio@ruhut.com. And somebody recently pointed out that some of you work at Google, Sun, Oracle, Microsoft, Intel, what have you. And all of you guys have mailing lists that are geared to the Desi audience or the Indian populace. I think on some places it's called Masala, on some places it's called something else. So if you're listening, we'd certainly appreciate if you could put it out on the mailing list on your particular company and talk about this show about entrepreneurship. It's called Jeans, T-shirt, and a Tie.
Ruhit.com is a micro information service that allows you to highlight any part of any web page. Ruhit then enables you to do all kinds of interesting things with those highlights. It's fast and free. No sign up, no download. Try it out. What have you got to lose? Stefania Wine, premium handmade wine made with the highest quality production methods from local state-of-the-art vineyards using the most advanced growing techniques. All grown with organic and sustainable methods. Award-winning wines with regularly 90-plus point scores. Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Noir, and Syrah. The wines are available at Vino Locale in Palo Alto and Vino Cruz in Santa Cruz, or directly from www.stefaniawine.com. Mention our show and get a special discount on the website. Sacramento, home for rent in Sacramento. Gorgeous 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, enclosed yard, beautiful front deck, vaulted ceilings. Central heat and air conditioning, beautifully maintained, and it shows. If you see it, you will love it. Call 408-666-7232. That's 408-666-7232 to schedule a time to see it. And now back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra. Rohit himself is an active entrepreneur working on a Web 2.0 startup.
Sapna salamat doston. So today we had a fantastic conversation with Shankar. Shankar, thanks for coming on the show. Your time.
Thank you. It's fun.
Yes, thank you. And coming up next week, we've got a fantastic speaker, a gentleman who started 8 venture-funded startups, sold a company for $1 billion. 5 out of the 8 companies that he started have been sold. And subsequent to that, we've got another fantastic entrepreneur coming on who's raised about $30 million for his company. He got turned down by 67 VCs before somebody decided to give him some money. And guess what? Surprise, surprise. His Series A round was oversubscribed and his Series B round was oversubscribed. So please stay tuned every Saturdays at noon and go ahead and tell your friends about it. Sapne salamat.
You're listening to KLOK 1170 AM, the Bay Area's new internet.